This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Nick Chancellor from Holistic Health Anxiety Coaching, specializing in anxiety and helping people overcome anxiety and reclaim their lives through holistic approaches that address the mind, body, and spirit, providing personalized coaching to guide individuals towards a state of balance and well-being. Together, we work on developing the effective coping strategies, exploring the root causes, and implementing positive lifestyle changes. So let's all say goodbye to anxiety and hello to a life filled with peace and vitality. Let's embark on this transformative journey together, and welcome back to another episode. Today, our discussion is on Chapter 8 of The Untethered Soul, by book written by Michael Singer. But before I go on to that and move on with the program, the title of the book is Let Go Now or Fall. Our purpose of our focus of this podcast is on living a life with less stress or lower anxiety. However, before we go into the theme or topic of the episode, let me introduce you to our co-host and speaker, Cheryl LaRue, former wedding photographer and flight attendant, left the aviation industry 5 years ago, and who currently self-employed office duties in a partnership business with her husband, allowing her flexibility to work on herself. Leaving the aviation industry 5 years ago was forced departure to the chronic illness and related to issues, sending her on a multiple doctor's visits, tests, attaching whatever label was appropriate at the time with no real answers or solutions. She had an intuitive moment one day, seeking and feeling that she had trained and conditioned her body to be a highly sensitive nervous system caused from decades of suppressed trauma and being stuck in the body. A book on a support group was placed next to her name, and without any ideas as to who placed it there, for some reason, as things happen. Intrigued by the book titled Mind Body Prescription, she began self-healing journey of seeing all symptoms slowly drop away, and along with 8 weeks of ISTDP therapy, mind-body specialist with multiple years of training in identifying and providing a safe space for her to let go, really, really let go, and the body keeps the score. During the therapy, she read a book, The Presence, Process by Michael Brown. This allowed her to reconnect with the deeper part of herself that had become separated from her. Becoming more curious about herself with a strong will and intention on reconnecting the mind, body, and soul to begin whole again. Reading more books and listening to hundreds of hours of audio lectures, neuroscience, anxiety, body connection, epigenetics, and brain and heart coherence. Spiritual books by Eckhart Tolle, Michael Singer, and others were part of her growth, along with enjoying daily ice baths and following the Wim Hof method, enjoying the health benefits and experiencing how we can tap into the nervous system and activate the vagus nerve to decentralize the nervous system after so many years, giving the power over to the mind to overcome life challenges and having the right tools to assist her. Forever grateful that in the pain body, she experienced that the chronic level had become the greatest teacher of her life. It's paved the path for self-healing, self-pathway, although challenging along the way allowed her to make it back to water sports, and after doctors advised, would never be able to do that. So she mentions that it was a conviction, the energy that created the body also heals the body as long as we stay connected to the heart. Having faith and belief in her own abilities and trust the process, turn inwards, connected, and listen to the higher self by removing the lower self. And then the light of consciousness, the one true source, will guide us to where we need to be. We come back to home, who we really are. You are the happiness and what you seek. Cheryl, welcome. Beautiful.
Hi, how are you? I am well, yeah, thank you. Thank you
good.
For having me.
Oh, so welcome to have you. So good to have you. Hey, that was a wonderful introduction bio of you. That's a wonderful journey you've had.
Yes.
You know, to get a clear picture on what went on for you.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, it was. It's certainly had its challenges, and I would say it takes much courage and strength to do it. But you keep going forward, even if you have a step back. Two steps forward, one step back, you are still forward, and you just keep progressing because something inside of you, it's that inner voice. It becomes more stronger than the mind voice. So you keep going. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You mentioned some wonderful readings like Eckhart Tolle and a few other books that you've read, and what a rich journey that is. That's the, you know, it's not the destination. It's more, hey, what do we do with our journey and how do we do it?
Yes. So you gain knowledge, and along the way, I kept reading books and different books, and I would gain a lot of knowledge, but I also had to be very careful and very aware that sometimes the ego can create an identity out of it. And you would hear this voice go, you need to read a book. So you would pull back because you must experience the experiential side of it to know, because the knowledge is there, but until you tap in and sit back and just sit with it and go, okay, that's what Michael Singer meant in that chapter, and it sort of just comes through you. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot in that chapter, isn't it? I haven't read the book for a while. I'm starting to re-engage with it. It's been about maybe 4 months since I did a group session together on Zoom. But it's probably time to recycle that. But given time, this particular chapter is from Freeing Yourself. On chapter 8, Let Go. Now or fall. I like the way, you know what I like about the actual how he begins the chapter and how he ends the chapter in his book. That's just amazing stuff there.
Found the same when I reread it. I actually went to chapter 8 and I read it and I continued on for a further 2 chapters. And it's amazing. It's been a while since I've read it myself, because I've read like all his books and you never stop learning. It's something he actually taps back into you again, and it's a constant teacher.
I know. Do you know, like, every time we get involved in doing other things, we forget about the lesson in front of us? I mean, there's always so much to learn, right? Always so much to learn, and you learn something and you forget something, then you got to re-engage something. So it's cool that I got this book next to me. I've had about a few of these books. Mine's all got all these scribbles in it, lines, highlights, got everything in it. Yes, we do.
as we do, because it's like an index or a reference when you have those moments sometimes. I think we all do, and I hope I never stop learning, because then I stop evolving. Evolving, and I think we need to keep evolving all the time. And I think he says it himself, actually. He doesn't claim himself to be a guru, Michael Singer. He says, no, I'm evolving. I'm just an evolving human that just keeps evolving. Beautiful. And I went, that's beautiful. That's who we are. Yeah.
We are on spiritual growth. That's simple. That, and he mentions that, right? He mentions that in the first page of the chapter. I think I quote him now. It's beautiful what you said. He says, growing spiritually means I realized that any attempt to protect myself, now I underline that, protect myself from a problem actually creates more problems. Now get
yes.
that.
Right?
Now I know that I've got a few clients suffering. That's what I do, anxiety, and they're always engaged on the problem. Always, they're so super focused. Their consciousness is straight onto their problem, and they just keep creating more problems.
Yes.
So they just don't know how to let go, you know. And so there's all these methods we can use and to let go of the problem, and just to, so they can refocus and get distracted in a different way.
And it's usually, I think I found throughout my journey, and I still have moments now. I mean, as I said, it's the secondaries with fear, because fear loves fear. Fear doesn't like consciousness. And once the consciousness gets pulled into that secondary fear, which is then the projection of, oh no, how long is this going to last? I don't like this feeling in my body. Oh no, I'm going to be, I won't be able to go shopping. I won't be able to do this. And once it's pulled you into that whirlwind, it's yes. very, very, very hard to get out, unless that's when you've got to do that forced stop, and you've got to stop, and you've really got to breathe into the body, because the secondaries is probably the biggest fear we have with anxiety. Not the initial one, it's the secondaries when we go into the projection and stories.
Yeah, that's so cool, isn't it? Like, we could get caught in that, and it doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether you're going through a relationship issue, whether you're going through some financial issues, it doesn't really matter. The key is to, can we let it go, you know? Can we, and like, yeah, I was just thinking the other day, what, you know, which I'm always protecting something, and like, let's say I need a habitat, I need a place to stay. And here's the positive, you can twist it and say, well, I've got a lot of friends all over the world. Okay. Yes. I got a tree out there. I got a tree. I can get a hammock, you know.
Yes.
You know, I can push trolleys around. I can get some sunshine. You know, I can see these guys, people who are like, you know, you look at them like they're just like looking in garbage bins, and you know, they're just a habit of theirs, whatever it is. You know, they're out there, right? They don't have a home, but they're still surviving. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
They're not giving up.
They're not giving up.
The homeless. Yeah, they're not giving up. They're just doing their thing, right? Finding a place to stay, something warm. They'll find a blanket and they'll just park somewhere near the shops and stick out a cup and whatnot. I'm not saying that's it's a different experience, a different level for us. It goes, oh, we don't want that. I want to protect myself from that. I just wonder if the universe puts people like that to have our conscious on that. Anyway. What I'm saying is like the fear of losing, right? The fear of protecting is all there. And as I said, you can pitch a tent and a hammock between two trees, and there's your day. You know, you can have we need shelter and that. If we can go into community, I'm just raving on a little bit here, but we can go into community settlement, right? Living together. One day we'll pick the cherries. The next day we'll be in the country, we'll pick the tomatoes plow the field and plant some potatoes together, and then sing songs at the end of the day, as you do, right? There's no TV in those places.
No. No, and I think when you see, I read a story once, and it was about a homeless man, and he was offered it was very cold night, and he was asleep out the front of a hotel. And as the man entered the doorway, he noticed the homeless man there. And he said, "Are you cold? I'll get you a jumper." And the man waited for the jumper. And because he believed that story then and went to the story, he got colder. Before that, he was in survival mode of what he had in his needs around him. Was there enough to keep him warm? And I went, there you go. Once we go to the story, there's that secondary fear that we go into, and the body.
That's it. We've given our resilience. I think lately a lot of that word has been coming up a lot to me, resilience of life. I mean, and sometimes we've gone to a point of strength, and then we go to the story, and where resilience goes down. Resilience can mean two things, a really good thing, or actually give you a negative. you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I do that every day. I go into the ice bath. It's like you come up with that resistance. It's a war as soon as you get in, and then 30 seconds later, your breathing starts to slow. But you hit that next wall, and the mind's trying to pull you from that water, going, "You're cold, you're this." But once you slow your breathing and go in a bit and trust it, it's complete trust that the body will do what it needs to keep you warm, and it does until you get out. But you meet much of that resistance whilst you're in there. So it never gets easier, but it does get easier. It does, but it doesn't, because you're not trying to control it so much. You're just surrendering to that moment.
Mate, I just jump in the cold, you know, we got baths up here and the sea baths, and just jumping in that on a sort of in between winters a bit, you know. Shall I hold back, and then before you know it, you convince yourself not to have to swim. But just okay, so then you just enjoy the ocean, you know, like,
yes,
and get the magnesium out of it. But I know that. Shall I? Once we start questioning, Mel Robin, she said, count 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't think, just jump. Just let go.
Jump. I tend to do it on the out, as I breathe in, as I do the out breath, that's when I submerge, because you're kind of entering the body. But I do power breathing before that. So without the power breath, it becomes much harder, because the power breath just takes you already relaxed into the body, so you have that sense of trust.
Tell me about the power breath. What does that do for you?
So
for
the
folks
power
that don't know about that.
Yeah, so the power breathing is 3 or 4 rounds. So you're just inhaling quite at your own pace. It actually states in the book to do it quite fast. So in and then letting go of the breath, but not totally letting go. So you're inhaling in through your nose, you're exhaling out through your mouth. Then you hold on after 30 breaths, you just hold your breath and you go into the body. So you're not taking any more breaths in. But you're in such a peaceful state, you actually feel the energy through your body, and it's peaceful, and you hold as long as you can. I've never timed it. Some people do. Take another breath in and you hold. Once you breathe in, you hold for 15 seconds, release again, and then you start the rounds again. By the time you've finished your third round, you're at such a relaxed, peaceful state, you're already entering in your body. So when you submerge in the cold, you have trust, trust in your body and in the process that it will keep you safe, and that you are safe in your body. Because, I mean, when we get anxiety and that, the first thing we want to do is run from it.
Yeah.
And we want to control the environment around us. So this way you control it. Because you're already in the body. So it gives you that head start of just trust. Major word, trust. Just trust.
Yeah. I also, when you tell that story, you know, that's a beautiful experience to be able to actually I got up to breathing. I love the way you explained the breathing. And it does take you away, it distracts you. It's also, there's a distraction in the breath.
Yeah, quiet as a mind.
Totally, because you already know it. You've already done it. If you've done it once, twice, three times, you're already a champion at it. But there's that niggling self-doubt. You know, there's that fear again that comes out, like
and
you said earlier.
Yeah. It tries.
So hit it with the breath.
hit it with the breath because, yes, the attention follows your breath, right? So if you pull the attention away from the breath. And sometimes it is harder. Some days I still have days of moments a challenge might have come through. So the power breathing can take me a little bit longer. So I go, okay, well, I need to do 45 breaths today instead of 30, 35. So you listen to your body. There's no rules. It's all about individual, what the individual needs for you in that moment. And you just tap in and you go in and go, okay, I need that. I need to go longer with my breath today. And you just give yourself a break and not be hard on yourself because you had to do an extra round. The mind might tell you something different, going, oh, you know, you're a bit anxious today, all that, but you go, that's okay. Just do an extra round, bit of self-care, bit of self-love.
That's it there. Hey, I like the way you said giving the power over to the mind to overcome life challenges and having the right to tools to assist you. And this is the breath is the one way, and the dismantle the nervous system. That's beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, power over the mind is everything. And I think when I first had my challenge 5 years ago, when I started on this journey, I didn't have that power over the mind. I think I was probably, they say you run 95% in your subconscious mind until you become awake and more conscious, and you extend that 5% of consciousness more. I think I was probably running at 99.9 when I think about it. And yes, when you start to become more aware and you get that power over the mind, that it just can't pull you. It doesn't have the strength to pull you.
Isn't that a good feeling now that you got to that level and you're staying to that level and you're doing ice baths to keep that resilience and even the thought of not going back there, because it's easy to slip back.
Absolutely. It's an intention, a willpower, free will. It's retaining your will to have that control.
Yeah, it's just a flick of a switch, right, before your perceptions goes to somehow different way. Like, and you know now when you've been triggered, right? You know, yes. I know when I've been triggered. I know that it comes from the closest people around you. That's what I, you know, that's because you're more attentive to the closest people around you, which is interesting, family or close friends and whatnot. And out of nowhere, you just get triggered about something. It could be issue related or problem that's festering or the problem that we've had, you know.
Yes.
And before you know it, like, it's like, okay, I've got to protect this now. And I remember like yourself, I've been on a serious journey 5 years also, you know, in the works of Michael Singer and other authors and you know, teachers, or you know, call them spiritual teachers or evolving teachers. I remember like, hey, I couldn't see the alternatives. I couldn't see anything bright, you know. I was always stuck in that protection, because that was my blueprint. That was my trigger. That was the root cause of everything. I think we can slam that, you know, find that space that's causing us to trigger, you know, and whatever methods we get there, get to do it with, find that trigger. And it has a less effect, like you said. It's you know, plus we're doing stuff like, I know sleep is one of the really cool things that we need to practice at this stage, but that's another story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're right about sensitivity. I mean, my parents used to say I was a sensitive person and stuff, but I'm thinking there's gratitude in that now, because I was sensitive. I did develop all these masks, and I did develop an ego and defensive mechanisms to protect who I was. But going on my journey 5 years ago, that sensitivity and that awareness as to I developed those masks, and I remember moments through my childhood, and that you could actually, there were times you were conscious and you were aware, but you just couldn't tap in because you were so pulled to, I need to put on this mask today because it's the only way I'm going to get through and survive. But now that's my teacher as well, because our sensitivity, we are in tune to our bodies more, I feel. So in a sense, I saved myself out of the deep end as well. So it's been a journey.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's where we're going somewhere with this. So, all speed ahead, right? It's nice to connect with you and others, and, you know, in the same, we're all going the same journey, and also having a book right next to me. And, I was just wondering, where do we go from here? Like, if you look at... let's maybe just go into some of the chapters. So let's go into, but I think, do you have a book next to you?
I do. I do have a book next to me. I have The Michael Singer, Untethered Soul, amongst many others. But as I said, I started reading this again because there was just some wording and more like strong affirmations and paragraphs. And hit the heart.
Yeah, that's it. I was just wondering, let's play a game. Let's have some fun with this. I'm thinking, would you like, if you got the book, would you like to read like the first two pages And what I'll do, I'll probably cut in a little bit and just really emphasize what comes up. I think I will highlight what needs to be heard from this. Even the first part, the first two pages of the chapter are phenomenal.
So, yeah. No.
Yeah, please. Yeah, let's go with this. Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Chapter 8, Let Go Now, All Four. The exploration of self is inextricably, that's a tongue twister for me, interwoven with the unfolding of one's life. The natural ups and downs of life can either generate personal growth or create personal fears.
Beautiful. Let's stop there. Let's go with that one. Just like
that's like, the sentence, that introduction.
Mm. Yeah. So we have the ebbs. What it's saying to me, we have this ebbs and flows, right?
Yes.
And that's a natural. I think the word natural should be like highlighted there, and the ups and downs, then it's personal growth, it creates personal fears. Life without ebbs and flows, growth or a personal fear, and depends on how we see it. So, yeah, go on with the next one. That's beautiful.
I like the way you highlighted natural.
Natural.
I just want to extend off that, what you said.
Please do.
Is we forget that we're having a human experience.
Yeah, that's
with
it.
Most of what we do, and we're our biggest inner critic. Our inner dialogue is phenomenal. That's like, you know, what someone says to us, sometimes it hurts. It's probably something we have not said to ourselves in so many matters. But natural is the human, a natural human experience, and I think that's something we all sometimes forget. So. Yeah.
Did you pick up the next word? You said personal fears.
Personal, yes.
Wow. Personal fears. Let's go into that one.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all personal, right? Which was what you just said. We've gone into this personal zone. And also comes from another book, what's that one? I lost it now, but it's the four agreements. And one of them is don't take things personal.
Yes. Yes. Read his whole, and that's a personal fear. That's something we think we take things personally. I'm not so much anymore. I think I've read that Four Agreements four times, but it really hit me the first time I went in. Is that's the masks that we do when we're younger, in the first 7 years of our life. That's where a lot of my trauma and my masks sort of where I developed from. Just things that happened. And so, taking things personally.
You can't dismantle anything. If you dismantle is another word, I think you mentioned in your bio, dismantle. And you can't dismantle anything. I can't dismantle anything if I take things way too personal and try and protect everything.
Yeah, you try and protect, or you project, or if you've got to go to a gathering or a party, we're already projecting conversations, or who's going to be there, or what's the right thing to say to that person, or there was many things. I mean, that was certainly high on my list many years ago, but not anymore.
That's it.
Once you break through that and you actually see it, everybody else is doing the same. Usually, everyone else. Just having the same human experiences and looking for that personal growth or that way out, that path, that light.
That's it.
Yeah. So, did you want me to continue?
Oh, yeah, because there's more. There's more. There's a beautiful paragraph. Yeah. So even like I'll even go with the next paragraph. We'll swap paragraph. We'll swap sentences. Which of these dominance is completely dependent upon how we view change. I'll highlight how we view change. So how you see the picture, you know, how we see things. And really. So that's that one just popped up. How do we view it? Yeah. So you can go next one.
Change can be viewed as either exciting or frightening, but regardless of how we view it, we must all face the fact that change is the very nature of life.
That's it there. Yeah. You know, I sometimes find it hard to accept change. Personally, even though I kind of go, hang on, just let that go. It can be, the word come up for me, it can be exciting or can be frightening. Simple as that.
Absolutely. And I think the sayings we have all going around is people say we're creatures of habit. You know, my husband is very guilty of saying that. And I go, no, we're not. It's only...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're not aware, but to make the change, sometimes it is the smallest gap between the subconscious bringing up an answer to something. If someone's asked you something, it is the smallest gap that you have to notice that there it is, and change the framing, change the thought process, and see it, and then change it and go, okay, no, I'm not going to act on that. I'm going to go this way. And then that's when you start to make that change and embrace the change. But fear of change.
Yeah, totally. Not letting go, right? It's the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Fear of not letting go of change. Holding on to change. Mm. Holding on not changing, sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think as you drop down the fear, though, you like the change. Like, I'm big on change now because the fear has come down, and I can see that self-realization. You can see the voice in the head, you can see the wording coming, so you can actually grab onto that space quite quickly and go, well, no, I'm not going to continue with that. This is how I'm going to take this path to, and you've got to keep doing that.
You've got to keep learning to re-engage acceptance.
Absolutely.
If you don't have that acceptance, you then go we're going the other way.
Yes. Yeah, and the hamster. Yeah, I think you can only go on the hamster wheel for so long, and I think I would ask myself so many days going, well, nothing's permanent. Things are always changing, and nothing in the past that I've done the same has done any good for me. I'm outgrown that now, so I need to make the change. I need to get off that hamster wheel that keeps going around and go, well, the only way to make that change is I have to do it, and how I respond to things is going to make that change.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he also mentions a lot of things. Maybe that's something similar to what you said. People don't understand that fear is a thing. It's just a thing. It's just another object in your universe that you are capable of experiencing this thing. You can do one of the other things, things with fear. You can recognize that you have it. Love that. Recognize that you have it and work to release it. Work to release it. Or you can keep it and try to hide from it.
Yes.
That's the trap, you see? Yeah.
Yes. And the more you try and hide, the more you keep blocking those energies, and it nothing will change because it won't go away. It'll just keep regurgitating itself until...
You're not dealing with it.
Basically gets your attention. Noticing. It's just the noticing, I think, in the body. The body becomes quite good at becoming the mind after a while, after so many years when you teach it. And sometimes the body thinks it is the mind. and tries to pull you down into that sensation. And then that sensation creates the fear. Then the fear feeds on the fear and goes to the mind, and hence we've got this.
That's it.
Forever going merry-go-round, and we're trying to run from it then.
That's it there. But it's nice to be awakened, right? Remember the chapters 1 to 4, and, you know, really teaches us how, for those new listeners or whoever come onto a podcast with us, you know, if you get your hands on The Untethered Soul of Michael Singer, The Journey Beyond Yourself, that there's chapters 1, 2, 4 teaches us how to deal with life a bit better, how to be more awake of what's going on and not get so sucked into the consciousness and and always getting like, and they're getting on that, the hamster wheel and so on. I'm just checking time. We have like 20 more minutes. Cool. I think before we go into more depths of and just like pop up what comes up, but I think I'd like to read the last page of the chapter, Let Go Now or Fall. He says, if you fall along the way, you get up and forget it, unless the lesson to strengthen your resolve. Let go right then. Do not rationalize. Do not blame game, or try to figure it out. Don't do anything. Just let it immediately, and just let go immediately. So, and allow the energy to go back to the highest center of consciousness that can achieve. If you feel shame, let it go. If you feel fear, let it go. All of these are the remnants of the blocked energy that is finally being purified by naturally. Always let go as soon as you are aware that you didn't. Don't waste your time. Use the energy to go up. You are a great being who has been given a tremendous opportunity to explore beyond yourself. The whole process is very exciting, and you will have good times and bad times. All sort of things will happen. That's the fun of the journey. Love that one. So don't fall. Let go. No matter what it is, let it go. The bigger it is, the higher the reward of letting go. Look at that. The higher the reward of letting go. Mm. And the worst of all, if you don't. So you go really backwards. If it's pretty black and white. You either let go or you don't. There really isn't anything in between. So let all of your blockages and disturbances become the fuel for your journey. That's nice. That which is holding you down can become the powerful force that raises you up. Beautiful. No, just leave. You just have to be willing to take the ascent. Oh, look at that.
Some very powerful stuff in there, because he's saying if you look at it, when you feel that anxious moment or you feel that power of that energy in you, if you can sit back, lean back into that and allow those energies to transcend, and they normally go to the heart center, you can feel it and get purified. And once you let them go, that I think if you can get interested, which I do, I get interested and go, wow, this is a really powerful energy force. Imagine if I can just sit back and let this go.
Yeah.
And you watch it, you actually get more interested in it, and then the mind doesn't have a chance to play its games with you, so to speak, and you get that opportunity to really let go.
See, you mentioned the word purify there, like let's get purified. Yes. And, you know, it's like snakes and ladders. It's just naturally to go down that, you know, ladder. But then, hey, I'm ready to be purified. Come on, let's do it. Like, so yeah, I know exactly what you're saying there, Cheryl. You know, it's the more we practice this spiritual journey, like it says here, growing spiritually, and we're letting go, I think that's then we're evolving.
Yes, I actually had an opportunity a few weeks ago. I had to put down my, I had to let my 15 and a half year old dog let him go, because it was his time. So throughout my 5 year journey, it was the first time, because I'm thinking, this is grief, this is sadness, this is death. I actually sat with it and felt the energies go to my heart center and completely surrendered and had no story in my head of memories of the dog. I just sat there with it and allowed it to pass through, and the tears would come, the energy would go. And once he fell asleep, and I really let go, I never had another tear after that. It's actually love that I felt for him. I can't explain it. It was the first time I had really surrendered to whatever needed to happen in that moment, so I'm not carrying that grievance or that anger. So it was a wonderful opportunity. I looked at it as an opportunity if I'm going to sit with this. And,
So it's a journey, right? And I hear a lot of stories. Like I read an article, and as we do on Facebook, and it said the worst thing you can do is abandon your pet at the date that it's leaving,
because
he wants to see you, even if you have to, send it to another space. And and all they see is a stranger, like the vet. They don't want to see the vet. They want to see you.
Yes, they do.
And anyone justice by leaving that, you got to be brave enough to say goodbye to it, like you did.
And it was brave. Because the dog is dogs go off energy and vibrations. They don't go off words. They don't go off the scientific version. They already know. They feel your love. They feel what you're feeling. And it was actually a very big sense of peace for me to be able to do that with my 15-and-a-half-year-old. And and it was a great experience to know you can sit, and I strongly believe 110% you can sit with, if you can learn to regulate your emotions and sit with them in that moment, and let go, they lose their power. It's not going to regurgitate. It's not going to keep coming up and coming up and pulling you into all this fear and anxiety and all these moments, because it just can't do it, because you've already purified it through your heart. So you only have the love.
You've gone to the okay. You've gone to the love. Okay with it. A lot of people, as I said, will use that word abandonment, and it's we all do that. And that's a good training for us, isn't it? Not to abandon your pet, be there with it. Because I know it's hard to see it, to leave it. Everyone's grieving at that moment. Yeah. Like human or non-human, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think Don Miguel Ruiz wrote a book on grief and renewal. And it had some interesting stuff in it as well. And he was saying how we, to process grievance, and normally at a funeral or something, we all take a moment to remember what that person or that dog or whoever's passed has given us in our life. He said, so I actually read the book prior to letting my dog go, and it actually helped me get through, because he said, turn the blessing around. He said, we are the blessing. Life is so much bigger than death. And remember the moments that you gave that person or that dog, and remember the smile on their face of what you gave them, not what just they gave to you, because it helps the grieving come through your heart. It brings a sad moment into your processing that, but you're also bringing the happiness of the moment, because you remember their face for that one thing that you did for them. So I actually did that during the process of letting go. That day, and it certainly worked.
totally. It's just it's like looking in the eye of that disturbance and visualizing it. Otherwise it just keeps coming back. Unless we really face it, you can just visualize it and be with it. Like normally you turn away from it, you turn away from that vision, mental vision, or the mind impressions of past experience, which are locked into the psyche. We need to just let it go, but to just face it don't abandon it. Don't abandon it. I think the problem we're naturally made to be abandoned. That's what's coming up for me. We're naturally made to be abandoned. Why? So we can learn the journey. Without abandonment, we don't learn anything. We just keep fighting the abandonment.
I think we have to know both sides of the to know the to what we need to do, to what we've done in the past. And I think it is a process. I think sometimes we needed to go through those processes of
100%
of not regulating our emotions and growing an identity and so forth, because without that we wouldn't know our true purpose or be able to allow our gifts and our intuitive voice to come through to show us that, hey, you've done that now. It's been a lot of fun and it's been a lot of sadness in that, but how about you, you know, reconnect back and go on the path that you choose to do now.
That's it there. Now, shall we talk on a little bit more about the book? And I've just got, thank you for that. That was a beautiful story. So in chapter 8, when we look at Michael Singer, he explores the transformative power of letting go, emphasizing the importance of releasing attachments that no longer brings true freedom and joy. He mentions that letting go now, falling. This statement is very powerful. He highlights the urgency and necessity of letting go painful emotions, thoughts, and behaviors to keep us tethered to negative and suffering. So unless we let go, we keep on suffering, and we keep on vibrational on the, keeping stuck on the negativity and the suffering. He also mentioned it's like imagining yourself clinging to the edge of a cliff, holding on to the familiar but harmful patterns. You have a choice to make continue hold on or endure anxiety and distress and courageously let go and embrace the unknown. He goes on and says, when we hold on to what no longer nourishes our soul, it creates anxiety and keeps us trapped in a discontent. By letting go, we open ourselves up to endless possibilities and beauty of this life. And then he says, the art of letting go is a profound and empowering journey for us. And like me, you have mentioned that it might challenge us, but it also allows us to welcome positive changes and tap into the vast potential. Through this process, we can break free from shackles of pain, disturbances, anxieties that weigh us all down, discovering a newfound sense of freedom and joy. And there's a note that says, how does he emphasize the importance of letting go in chapter 8? Well, do you want to give me that answer there, or do you want to have a go at that?
Well, I do. I'll dissect that to when I, because I know what he's saying. You've got to let go through the heart center. He's always saying go back to the heart center and let go from there. And I know when I first entered my journey, I actually struggled with some of those wordings. But I guess my ISTTB therapy helped in the sense of they would interrupt what you would say and take you back and go, no, you cannot release from where you're releasing from, because I was releasing from the lower self, from the identity, that part. And that's the part that won't let go if someone hurt you or you have a grievance against a teacher or a parent or whoever it may be. That part won't let go, but the real self, the real higher self of you, wants to let go. And that's what he's saying. It's like many years ago, it doesn't serve you anymore, but you've got to come back to that heart center, because that's where the energy wants to go, be purified, because the heart then releases, you know, that old energy blocks that we've shoved down there for many years. That's my dissection, and that's my experience with it all until I really connected. I couldn't quite put the two of them together until I felt my heart open, because he actually goes inside the book saying, you feel your heart open and closed. And I realized I was actually feeling my heart open and closed. And if you go to close it, then that's when you're starting to store stuff. So you got to keep it open to allow that energy through. So then the real you, the higher self, is letting go, not the lower self. Because the higher self is, we're on our journey and we don't care what someone says. We are just these live beings.
You just mentioned just love then. I had a dear friend that departed us a while back now, maybe about 4 months ago, brilliant guy. But he always said, just love, even though he had a lot of things. Yeah, just love, just love, just love, just love, because we can crack anything open with just love. And, I was talking to a client of mine. She was having a relationship issue, and she said, And, you know, had to, she also got other counseling, which is really good too, from someone else. And she said, in my relationships, she had a breakup, just a breakup. Like, and she's holding on to this. She's feeling grievance. She's pain, you know, abandoned, all the things that go with a relationship when someone says, I don't love you anymore. Sorry, can't handle being in a relationship anymore. And so what she did to get a distraction, she went to the gym and worked herself really hard just to get away from distraction. But at the same time, she was engaging hate, betrayal, these kind of emotions. But when she turned the perception to going to the gym and coming from a loving state, of understanding it, being with it, not fighting it and processing it, things just changed for her. She was able to let it go. She was able to let go of the hate, the grievance, everything within a short time. And it's just love.
And it is just love. And once you actually get to understand what love is, until you can look in your mirror and look into your eyes and have that unconditional love and let go of all the negative, all that critical stuff you've said to each other, then the forgiveness and letting go of grievances to other people comes to, and you actually feel lighter throughout your body. But you've got to feel it within yourself. Yes, you've got to give yourself that love and understanding for yourself first, to then, it's a flow on effect. It just it
You
comes on its
can't.
own. You can't force it. It's
No.
it comes. I think I my understanding and my experience from it is it won't come through until you're ready to let go of it as well. So it's trying to pull you, it's always the spirit's always trying to pull you back to your whole self. So you can forgive yourself and love yourself, and then it goes, okay, now it's ready. Now we're ready to let that energies, let them go. And you were so ready by then to just go, you know what? It doesn't matter anymore, because I just love who I am and I love life, that nothing can touch me anymore, that I can't handle, and I won't be able to accept those challenges, because you can learn to accept them.
That's it. You've just mentioned something that I was about to mention. Well done. And thank you for that one. It said wonderful alignment there. And it said the significance of letting go and transformative power it holds, like you said, by letting go, by releasing attachments that no longer serve us. So we can break free from shackles of pain, disturbance, and anxieties, and find true freedom and joy in our lives. Beautiful. I think we were in wonderful places with this particular chapter, Cheryl. We have roughly another 2 minutes to go, and would you? Let's give our little session a conclusion. How did it? For me, I think I've it was wonderful to be with you and to express and re-engage with this chapter again. It's been a while. It's always good for me to reinforce, to read this and reinforce and get enriched by your experiences also, because I'm also learning. We're all learning from each other. And I love the experience. And as yeah, I think they are wonderful stories, and just it's such a good reminder to whatever we're going through, whatever I'm going through, once in a while, is to learn when that feeling comes back up again, it's just to let it go.
Yeah, I
There
think
you
you
go.
said it all. It's nice to connect with others who are on the journey, who have still got their minds open and wanting to learn. But it's the connection, and someone says a word, like you've said a couple of pieces that, and it's hit me back, and I've gone, wow, so I'll take that in. So we're always learning from each other, to get each other through, and it's knowing that you're not alone, and it is okay. It is okay to be vulnerable with yourself, because without that you won't allow the emotions to really come through you.
That's
So
okay.
it's nice to speak to others. I'm always happy to share my story, because hopefully it throws a light for others who are seeking that path, that something. It might be one word that we've said, or a paragraph that's been shared, that might just give them a little bit more of an open light to continue to go on that path and know that, you know, the way the way out is going through.
That's it.
To the other side.
Hey, how could everyone get in touch with us? What we could, because I know at the end of my and the descriptions of our talks, and I always put an email, or I put a Facebook account message. So if anyone wants to have a chat with you or get in touch with you, how can I get in touch with you?
Through my email is fine. If anyone wants to email, I have done like another show, I think a couple of years ago, and I had people from that sort of going, you know, tell me more about your story, like, or what book can I read, or a little path. So I'm always happy to anything, any word or anything that happens. So yes, so to an email address, I'll send that. I can send that through to you, Nick, and
That'd be lovely.
Happy for you to pass that on to any souls out there that are looking for.
I will do that. Thank you. And also, I'll do your direct, your Facebook profile thingy. So that'll be that's another way of contacting you and us. And just like you said, happy to help and happy to shine some light to anyone that's hearing this. And well, my friend, we're running out of time. I think thank you for everything, and thank you for showing up for us and. And all of us, and
thank you too much. Gratitude, thank you for having me on your show.
Such a pleasure.
I always feel like I've got a song in my heart that needs to be sung. I have done for a couple of years, so to get my story out there to allow others to hear, because you feel it, you see it, and I go, I've got a song to sing. A song. I need the lyrics to get out there for others who are ready. Ready to embark on that path to follow it, or to, you know, show a guide or guide somewhere there.
That's it there. Did you know the story? We'll end up with a story of the turtles.
The turtles, okay.
The turtles, Just remind me, because we are, you know, some of us actually, you know, when we go through the spiritual journey, we're actually tested in time, in the rite of passage, to be able to be the teacher. And when you get to a conscious level, you are the teacher, and we're all teachers and students of this life, so we're all carrying each other home, all helping each other get across the bridge of home, and that's what I love doing. You love doing that, so that's what we're here. But quickly, I've got a minute or so. The turtle story is like, if you ever looked at like a Geographic movie, and with Attenborough. He's got this. It just blew my mind up when you saw the turtles. Like, they all, mum gets in there and she buries them, and then at certain months they hatch out of it. You know, they all pop out and they dig themselves out of the sand, hot sand, and then the stronger ones take the lead, and they get out and, you know, make a passage for the little ones to get out. And then first thing they do is, you never seen run so quick to the ocean, right? In their journey, they're just getting wiped out, like by seagulls and hawks and whatnot. Mm. And then they get in the sea, they get wiped out by you know,
other predators,
lions and sharks and whatnot. And here's the deal, there's only 5% that survive.
Yeah.
Right? To grow and mature and do it and repeat the cycle. Just life, right? It is the fittest or unlucky, whatever. But it's a good story. It just really, really tells us that, you know, we've gone through the journey, and anyone that's read, and we're here to teach and help others get to the sea and to grow.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've always said, like, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
That's it there.
When it's all is done, the teacher, you know, when you don't need, and the student is yourself.
Absolutely.
The teacher is yourself. We as of our knowledge and our experiences can only allow that light to shine through, and some will be attracted to it and will take what they've heard from us. It could be a word, it could be a sentence or whatever that may be, but they will take that because their own teacher skills, their intuitive ability, that's kind of like gets wiped when we're younger, to engage in, become stronger. So you become the teacher.
Cheryl, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, namaste and blessings to you and everyone else. And,
All right. Talk to you. Okay. Cool. Thanks,
Thank
Nick.
You. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, bye. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.